Back on the beat, back on the streets. This time, Portland, Oregon. The Warriors and the Trailblazers in a playoff series where Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier joins us for another exciting edition of Walking in Blank with Q. This time, that blank is Portland. We're walking in Portland with Q, and we'll talk about so much with Q on this walk. We'll have a discussion about coffee. We'll have a discussion about Portland and the vibe. And for you, what is the vibe of this city as we stand here in the middle of Pioneer Square?
Well, it's a really cool city. It's actually one of my favorite cities on the NBA circuit. Food's really good up here. I think the culture of the people are a little different, but pretty cool. And you know, the coffee houses are good. I think it's got a little bit of a music scene, and its proximity to the Bay Area and the West Coast is, I always like to. It's a great place to come, and really one of the better cities in the NBA.
You see signs around that say "Keep Portland Weird," and it doesn't seem like a weird city. It seems like a city that's its own thing completely.
I would agree with that. It is. It's not. I think you can be different in Portland and be accepted. And different doesn't necessarily have to mean weird. But I think people express their individuality in different ways. And the city is beautiful. I mean, when it's sunny here, there's not many more beautiful cities in the world. I mean, the mountains and the trees and the Willamette River, and you have Mount Hood. I mean, they keep the city pretty clean. But it is a little funky, but that's part of its charm.
So we're here during the NBA playoffs, and the Warriors are hunkered down in Portland heading into what would be Monday's game 4. And you think about a preparation for a playoff series and how it evolves. How does the playoffs change for the coaching staff and the approach you take and getting the players ready when you know you're facing the same opponent?
Well, playoffs are all about adjustments, and one game can change momentum, can change, you know, tactics. It can change the series. So for coaches, it's always about what you're going to do differently. And different can be strategic, and it could also be, you know, there's mental adjustments within that too. I didn't feel we were ready mentally in our last game here. You know, I thought it wasn't just that the first two were easy, but when you win two games, you know, you have a little bit of leeway just naturally. I felt like we took that for granted. And, you know, without Steph, it's tough to take something like that for granted. And we didn't play our best. So I think tonight there's a bit of a mental approach to the adjustments, and there's also some strategic adjustments. And that's what the playoffs are. There are adjustments all over to try and, you know, take advantage of what the other team is doing.
So as we take our walk, we're going to get deep into the life of Bruce Frazier, Warriors assistant coach, as we walk in Portland with Q. Like a classic old song, we are in the public domain, and it's the exceptional coffees and skillfully roasted, artfully prepared coffee that you can get on the street level here in Portland, Oregon. Public domain's the place where we're sitting down, as we aren't actually walking with Q now for this segment, but we're sitting and talking about coffee. And look, I kind of am a bit sheepish about this because you're such an amazingly cool guy, and we love talking with you and doing this thing. And we did that whole most interesting man in the NBA routine. And when we did that, it's kind of based on the look of the Dos Equis character, the most interesting man in the world. And but we could say that that's what was the impetus, but you actually are the most interesting man in the NBA. Not just a career in the music industry and in your playing days, and then a time that we'll talk about another time about your work with Oakley, but the coffee business. You're in the coffee business.
Well, it's a generous compliment to say I'm that cool or that interesting. That's I think that'd be a little bit of a stretch, but I appreciate the compliment.
Okay, first of all, you're like very close friends with Steve Nash and Justin Timberlake at the same exact time. Like, that's, I mean, you're a cool guy.
Those guys are way cooler than I am. So, they're good friends, but they're way cooler than I am. But I got in the coffee business sort of by default.
I had a couple buddies that, in a cool way, roasted, you know, craft coffee down in San Diego. So they have way better, more interesting jobs than I do. Or I shouldn't say better because I love my job, but in the coffee business specifically, they travel the world and source bean and then bring it back to San Diego and roast it. I sort of stumbled into it in between my Phoenix Suns and Golden State Warriors stint, where, you know, Steve, I had been let go because I was so close to Steve, and Steve had, you know, not re-signed with the Suns. So I didn't have a job per se. I'd actually kind of started dabbling with some stuff with my buddies in the coffee thing, but I wasn't directly involved. And I had another friend, I won't go into the whole business side of it, that was a distributor for wines and spirits. So I basically sort of helped pitch a deal that allowed his company, Young's Market, to distribute our coffee. And the coffee's called Joe. We had to come up with a name, and like, it was like a 2-minute name of coffee that's sort of generic, and we were so creative that we named it Joe. I mean, come on.
It's in the pocket.
Can you be a little more creative? But it's just called Joe Coffee. We roast it in San Diego, and it's distributed by my buddy's company. So I ended up sort of jumping in, and I knew that I was ultimately going to get back in basketball with Steve, but I didn't want to wait. You know, like, how long are you going to wait? Like, is it going to be a year? Is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be 5 years? Steve had no timetable for that. And I was being a little selective on where I wanted to live, or maybe I would have chased another NBA, you know, job in scouting or something else, where I could have maybe lived on the West Coast. But anyway, there was a lot of sort of moving parts in it, but I ended up in the coffee business. And so we, you know, bought bean from all over the world. And then the cool part is most companies do that, even here in Portland. You know, they don't, all coffee bean is grown, or I should say most is grown along the equator in sort of third world countries. And there's no real roasting houses in those areas. That's where the bean's grown. And coffee bean, I mean, it does have a shelf life, but it's not like grapes or other things that are more perishable. So it enables roasters to, you know, sort of buy that bean and bring it places where they want to live and roast coffee. So Portland, you know, uniquely is known for some of its really cool coffee houses, and they're a little bit geeky in essence, and they make really good coffee, and they buy really good bean from around the world. And so there's different levels of coffee bean, just like there's levels of everything. And this place that we're sitting now, Public Domain, is I think a fairly new spot, but it's really good. They have really good coffee. Stumptown's another one. Where was I this morning? I was at, I can't think of the name. I'm gonna mess this up.
There's a lot of places here in Portland. I mean, by the way, it's like Seattle. You know, spin a stick around and hit a place with coffee.
Very similar. So anyway, it was, you know, I learned a lot about not only coffee, because I've always liked coffee as a consumer, but I learned a lot about, you know, how to source, you know, coffee bean, what sort of taste characteristics and profiles. And I didn't even know coffee bean grew on a tree that came out of a cherry, two beans in each one. So that in a funky way, there's, you know, I learned a lot about the coffee and the business. So I'm still involved, but not as hands-on. It's a fun, cool thing on the side for me, doing it with two buddies down in the North County of San Diego.
I enjoy drinking coffee, and it's kind of the way to start the day, but I'm not picky at all. I mean, I'll drink, you know, Classico or Taster's Choice, the freeze-dried stuff, and have no problem with it. Or, I mean, I kind of grew up liking gas station coffee, but you start now living in an age where you can get single origin, and that's kind of how the world is going in some way. You're seeing that with the chocolate business and, you know, especially coffee. Single origin. Explain that a little bit as to why that's important, so it's not all like the two-buck chuck necessarily of coffee or whatever the swill I drink.
Well, single origin is exactly what it says. It's grown on a farm, a single origin farm in a specific area. So there's a little more intimacy to it, and farmers are, you know, like anything, like some farmers grow better crops than others, and the soil's better, the climate's better, so you can get a richer sort of bean that has more characteristics from different places. So if you're a coffee roaster or someone that sources that, you know, the best coffee bean, then you're going to go after like a cool single origin, you know, really nice farm, like cool farmer with a family that all they do is care about the quality of their bean. And so, you know, all these places are in pursuit of those type of unique, intimate, single origin farms. And there's still some that are to be discovered. And because the coffee business has become so big and popular, it's harder to find the ones that haven't been discovered. That doesn't, but, you know, Napa's been discovered too, and there's great wines that come out of it. So, you know, farming is farming. It happens in the wine business too, and the grapes and the weather predicts how well the grapes come out, and weather doesn't have as big of impact on the coffee bean, but there's still some of those same type of things that involve the soil and the weather and the time you pick and all that stuff. And there's a lot of hands. I should know what the number is, but it's amazing how many hands touch sort of a coffee bean before it comes to the cup.
You know, some people are getting so serious about it that they want to like taste the tears of the alpaca that roamed the land that was before it was harvested. But who on the team is also a coffee guy?
Wow. Who on the team? Bogues is actually a coffee snob, but snob in a good way. I've never really talked coffee with Bogues, but he's the one guy I see down there in the morning. He likes espresso for the most part, but he, you know, if it's not good coffee, he just shakes his head. Steve drinks his coffee. He's not quite the snob that Bogues is, but he's a bit of a foodie and likes good coffee. I think everyone in the modern day is in pursuit of a little bump, you know. Luke Walton loves his coffee. Ron Adams, our coaches. I think the older you get, the more you need the extra energy. But most of our players are not coffee guys. I think they prefer like the younger, trendier Red Bull or 5-hour energy type stuff. But I'd rather just have a good cup of Joe.
If you want a sugar jolt, Voodoo Donuts is the place to go. We will hit the streets for one more segment as we walk in Portland with Q. You're listening to Warrior Sound. That was some great coffee talk, and we're back on the streets heading toward Voodoo Donuts. And, you know, you want to think about what an amazing day it was a couple of weeks ago with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr getting the Coach of the Year award. Really a special day all around with Jerry Marvin, his high school coach at Pacific Palisades there, as well as Lute Olson, the head coach at the University of Arizona when you and Coach Kerr played there together. Really, what was that day like all the way around?
Oh, that was super cool. I mean, for me, you know, Steve and I have been such good friends for so long. To see a good friend get an award like that, I mean, Coach of the Year is pretty incredible, especially in the short time he's done it. And as always, he deflects the attention to others. And, you know, honestly, the players are the guys that are doing it all. The assistants have small parts, so for him to give us some of the credit might be too much, but I think, and he said it's the players and the culture, and super cool though to see. I'd never met his high school coach, so I was able to say hi to him and hear a couple old stories. Then, you know, my head coach the head coach when I was in college, Lute Olson, was there too, and it was a complete surprise. And I could tell Steve actually was a little emotional. One, when he first saw Coach Olson, and then two, when he started talking about the difficulty of the condition that he's gone through this year. So it was an emotional day. It was great for me to see Steve win that award and to also catch up with Coach Olson.
was real family. The whole feel of it was great. And Steve's family being there and the coaches being there and just the way it was all talked about, it made you feel really special to be there. The other time I had a feeling like that was when we were at the White House and Coach Kerr is like up there with President Obama, like holding his own and like making jokes and like, is that my water? I mean, the whole thing was just like perfect. And you started thinking, Coach Kerr could be the president. Did you see that too at the White House?
He's polished. I mean, he's a pro. But the great thing about him is it's not an act. He's sincere, but he's really bright and he's very polished. So I would say that it's conceivable that either he or his daughter Maddie could potentially be the president of the United States someday. I mean, one of the Kerrs at some point will don us with that.
And it really all centers around his leadership.
I mean, it's probably his best quality. I think he's a born leader. I think he matured into it. You know, he was, I didn't know him growing up, but in college he became the leader of our team and the captain. But He's vocal enough, but not overly vocal as a leader. So he doesn't take the credit. It's not about him. And I think he was the player rep in Chicago when Michael and Scotty and they were winning those. So he's always been a bit of a leader. So, you know, it's no coincidence that he's a great coach. He's great with his messaging. He's great with strategy. The players trust and respect his word, and he's responsible for a big part of our culture, and that's all leadership.
Another great talk, another great walk in a new city. Thank you so much again for doing this. This has been a Warrior Sound presentation of Walking in Portland with Q. You're listening to 2016 NBA playoffs coverage on Warrior Sound. I'm Lawrence Scott, and we're excited to share the stories of the playoffs with you each and every day. Before games and after games, Warriors Talk continues here. From game recaps, interviews, features, and more, Warriors playoffs coverage lives with the voice of Dub Nation, Warrior Sound.